Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio.
About to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460. Today is December the 6th, racing toward Christmas. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming and we are chatting on KCNR1460.com. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. It is 7:06 in the morning, and we're joined, of course, by the ever-present, the ever-ready, the ever-bubbling Bad Bob.
Bubbling. Okay, I like
that. Okay. That bubbling part, Bad Bob.
Let me work on that one. Good morning.
You know, there was a Charter had a little problem here yesterday with their cable. And I get the phone call from our super board operator, Chandler, says, hey, this is going on. So I call Bob, and who knows what Bob is doing on a Sunday. I never ask Bob what he's doing on a Sunday because, frankly, I scare easily. So I ask Bob, this is what's going on. And Bob, within 5 minutes, is just racing his yellow Jeep down the road. Here, finds out that Charter had a big boo-boo and went back and fixed it. So thanks, Bob, for coming down on Sunday.
Not a problem. And if you do have one of those cable modem things, before you call for service, unplug it, plug it back in. That often clears up the problem.
Yeah, first you have to know where they put it, though. Yeah, it wasn't just the one in our in the studio. This one was hidden back with phone wires, which we don't want just anybody walking in there and flipping on and off. Is that right?
Especially off.
Okay, hey, today we're going to have a great day, but especially thinking of great, here she is, Linda.
Oh, is that me?
That would be your cue.
Well, I was looking for my icon. I thought, well, you know, every now and then Monday we're just one icon off.
Here I thought Carl was your icon.
Yeah.
No, my I was looking for Safari icon. It kind of got lost in my toolbar at the bottom there on my Mac. So hint, next year I think I might get I've got the little white Mac that we chat on. It's usually not the problem, the computer. Because Macs are just really incredible, and I know Bob is really into his Mac too. Meaning that if you had a choice, we always go: are you Mac or are you PC? So, what kind of Mac do you have?
Mine is a MacBook Pro 17, and then of course I have my. I kind of walk both sides of the street.
I've heard that.
Shut up, Carl. But I also have a PC unit that I use for day-to-day stuff.
I've had Chili Mac before. I liked it. Gave me gas.
Hey, on this day in 1883, all right, moving right along here, on Monday, December 6th, can you guys believe it, Ladies Home Journal and Practical Housekeeper. I'd like to get a hold of some of those. It was published for the, don't mention, don't you dare say anything, it was published for the first time. It became one of the few magazines to reach a circulation of over 1 million. Paid circulation is over 3 million. So, anyway, it represents a standard of excellence that just keeps getting better. I still get Ladies Home Journal. I love it. There's some really wonderful recipes in there. Also on this day, remember that song? Na, 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 hey.
Say goodbye.
That's it. The group was called Steam. And after their number one song, they ran out of steam. Anyway.
One hit wonder,
1969. In 1948, I'm going to move around here, Arthur Godfrey's Talent Scouts debuted on CBS, ran for almost 10 years. And in 1902, the 8-cent Martha Washington stamp was issued on this day. There you go. 1971. It was payday for Jack Nicklaus. He received $30,000 for capturing the first Disney World tournament. His earnings for the season totaled at $244,000. That was just kind of
Doesn't Tiger bake that in about an hour?
in Japan, doing his Scotch commercials, I'm sure. And if you're listening on this beautiful Monday morning, of course.
It's always beautiful. It's raining outside. It's going to clear, but it's beautiful.
It's currently 51 degrees if you're just tuning in. 51 degrees here. Going to have scattered showers today with a high of 59. Going to be beautiful tonight, a 20% chance of rain. Do you sleep really hard with the rain? The way it was beating down yesterday, it was cold and windy, and it was just you know, snuggly time with the fireplace.
Times I've been out laying in the rain with it beating down, I didn't sleep very well. In fact, the big thing was, hey, you want to change positions? No, no, I've got this puddle warmed up. That kind of thing. Hey, we got to take a break here. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. We're streaming on KCNR 1460. You can chat with us. 7:14 in the morning on December the 6th. And today we're going to have Enjoy Magazine on. We got the fire department chief on. Bob, you wanted to give a shout out to REU.
Absolutely. I want to thank, and I think it was Dwayne, was the field electrician who pretty much saved our bacon Saturday night at the Lighted Christmas Parade. There was a wire that got burned inside the pole that supplied power. We had the very first announcing booth, so literally we were kicking off the parade. We get there, we get our tent set up, everything going, and there's no power, so it's like panic time. As a backup, I'd run over and retrieve my generator off the Coast Guard auxiliary float because I had a spare and lugged the 60-pound beast about five blocks. But REU, the guy, like I said, I think his name was Dwayne, got into the pole, found the problem, ran a backup wire, and got us powered up. And this was in pretty miserable working conditions, on his knees on a wet sidewalk, And you're dealing with electricity here. Never a good combination, rain and electricity. And by golly, he got the job done and got us going. And so just a big shout-out. Say what you want about REU, but the technicians, the field guys, great guys.
Yay.
Okay, Bob. Thank
Absolutely.
You. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to get to something before we talk about WikiLeaks and how that, since they've declared war on us, why can't we declare war back? This Berlinghoff, Gene Berlinghoff, they've got, looks like he's made most wanted. If you've got any information... This is the young lady that disappeared with her uncle. The secret witness line is 243-2319, 243-2319, or the county sheriff's office at 245-6540. What I find interesting, the latest one, is that the militia is looking for him now. The Northern California State Militia.
Guns.
I didn't know we had a Northern California State Militia, first of all. I've heard of the State of Jefferson Militia, which claims thousands of members. But, it's interesting that, and that's kind of what militias do, is go out and they help the sheriff and they help state authorities to help them, to help during crises like this.
What I find it interesting and maybe a little irritating is how long it took this story to finally bubble up a little bit higher on the story food chain. And for some reason, Northern California things take longer, because had this happened in New York and New Jersey, it would have been national headlines 3 weeks ago. Why is that?
Yeah, but, she was already on Nancy Grace show. I mean, who panders to these kinds of things?
In the first week.
Yeah, in the first weeks, it panders these things. I mean, I've seen it before on the on TV. It doesn't. Maybe it didn't get the full notoriety of something like this. But this is kind of really a strange thing. They weren't sure what was going on with it at the beginning, and now obviously, I don't think that they're saying is that she was abducted yet. I don't think they've said that yet. Let's talk about WikiLeaks a little bit. WikiLeaks has published details of sites around the globe which the United States deems vital to its interest. And that it's helping militants identify targets for attack. These are part of these $250,000 cables that WikiLeaks and Assange, I think that's his name, Assange, is turned loose. They're trying to run Assange down right now, as you know. They keep taking his servers down, it appears. His one in Switzerland has just been attacked. But here's the thing is, as soon as this began, you've got to look at it like this. Gingrich said it, and I don't always endorse everything Newt Gingrich says, but it's something like this is like an act of war. He's releasing secrets. He's doing things that can harm military, that can harm civilians. If they know certain of these sites are there, and we've got government workers there doing the work that we have them there to do, and they get attacked. This is just like, what's the difference between this and turning secrets loose during a war? Well, there is a war going on. we're a war against terrorism, and this guy is turning loose. Why haven't we, when I say we, the Obama administration, taken a strong stand on this? What has he said? Has President Obama even addressed it himself personally? Why haven't we gone after him? We should have some of the best IT information technology in the world. And if we can't shut down some servers, what's going on here? Why can't we even find this guy? Or do we know where he is and he's just kind of hiding out? I know. We've been looking for Obama. Bin Laden for 9 years? We can't find him. I still think he's got a penthouse in Miami Beach, and he's probably walking up and down the beach. There's nobody recognizing him. He's probably taking these two little shih tzus on walks every day. But this guy from WikiLeaks, you know, we can shut this down. But, you know, the bottom line on this is what else is being done? And the good question is how does one person get access to 250,000 documents? How does one person, if you've got a credit card that the company will cut your credit card off if they see it being played in being used in two places, are you telling me is that our government can't fix something like this? That there isn't something that says, wait a minute, that seems to be a lot that you are doing right now. You seem to be downloading a lot of stuff out of this one computer or two computers. And so why has this been addressed at all? Does he have that much access to everything? A PFC who has got questions about his life, does he have that much access to diplomatic cables? I can understand maybe intelligence if he's in that, but how did he get into the diplomatic cables?
The story on the Associated Press that I covered over the weekend indicated that these cables were downloaded from a secure Pentagon server he should not have had access to in the first place. So either he
that makes it even worse.
Yeah, either he obtained somebody's passcode or
somebody gave it to him on purpose. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Somebody
which can happen. I mean, this story is not isolated in 2010, soon to be 2011. This same kind of thing has happened through the generations as far as leaks.
Yeah, but this leak is more like a torrent. You know, there are leaks, you know, you'll get individual things, you get some papers. These are hundreds of thousands of documents that were downloaded. And part of the problem, you know, one of the things we used to see when we were in when the intelligence community was, they have these pens now that you just run over the lettering. You know, you can over text, and it copies. A pen that you can just stick in your pocket, and you can walk out with, you know, 1,000 pages of text.
Well, you've been involved with the intelligence. Tell us, I'm curious, how badly do you think this leak of information is going to affect our security?
It already has because it's made us change the way we do things. We've already got sites out there that have been leaked that, you know, that nobody should have been, you know, nobody should have known about them. So now people do know about them. So what they have to do is they have to change. They have to shut down operations. They have to move to other sites. Who knows how much damage it was done in the political realm when they're releasing documents saying that Hillary Clinton thinks somebody is a jerk. I mean, you know, that may not be important to the person, but it's just the overall, it's the overall idea that somebody can release hundreds of thousands of documents and nobody does anything about it.
And how can one person have such power with just the press of a button?
Well, that's what the problem is that there was what was the check on it? And the other thing too is this guy keeps putting it out, and our papers keep New York Times and others just keep printing it. Thanks a lot, New York Times. Got to take a break. Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Carl and Linda Fott.
Good morning, North State. 51 degrees currently. If you're just tuning in, it's going to be high today of 59. Scattered showers. Mostly cloudy. The weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. We had a beautiful brunch there on Saturday, one of our favorite places to go to. This Friday, December 10th, we're going to be having a special night of music with Candace Lavolsi and me and my fabulous trio and Rick Hill. And if you're going to make your reservations, they are selling out quickly, 474-5546, Christmas party time. Fabulous.
Okay, we had turned on it all there, Bob?
Thanks. We got a loose switch.
Okay. It does. It was sold out last Friday, and they sell out quick here. Hey, okay, I want to get into a couple of things before we get into our guest here. Of course, tomorrow's the city council meeting. We're going to have a report on that Wednesday morning with our new city council correspondent, Gary Catt, will come on and talk about what happened. But it's going to be a big one, talking about pensions and pay and everything. And one of the articles in the Record Searchlight, it was about the cost of health care for our people here in the city. And you find out is that, you know, our pay for our city employees is about average, is what everybody else. You know, we don't have any $500,000 custodians at the county. We do have $500,000 board operators here at the station, of course, Bob. But it's for Shasta County, the reported employer's cost of health insurance runs from roughly $5,000 to $10,000 per employee. In Anderson, the reported cost for most employees is $11,000. In Shasta Lake, it starts around $6,700. However, there's a lot of them around $12,000, with a handful of electrical workers worth more than $17,000. In Redding, the numbers are vary a little bit from employee to employee, but $15,000 a year we pay for health insurance is for the individuals. And that's, you know, this is something that's not a surprise. It's been out there. But this is something that needs to be talked about. And one of the people that was running for office, Sandra Spear, said that we need to take a look at the health care, the cost of health care and the insurance, and we could shave a lot of money that way. Well, I think something that they will be looking at those. And like I said, tomorrow's city council meeting is someplace you may want to go to. I've got a break here in a couple of minutes, but one of the things I want to talk about is things that are happening in other parts of the California. This is my favorite one. Pot plants go up in smoke in a warehouse. Authorities say a marijuana growing operation went up in smoke in a warehouse in San Fernando Valley caught fire. It's a 40,000 square foot facility in Sun Valley. And, you know, the thing is, they had it knocked down, the fire down, in about 2 hours. They said they could have had it finished in about 35 minutes, but the firefighters kept going in and coming back out going, "Hey, dude!" And they had to stop for munchies. You think that's true? Anyway. where did you think you're going to be reading this? Oh yeah, we have our major pot. You know what? If we go to Stillwater and say, "Hey, I want one of the areas out there. I want to grow medicinal marijuana, and I'm going to put like 100 people to work there. I'll pay my taxes, but I want to grow marijuana." What do you think would happen?
It's legal. Under the new California regime, that may be
it's legal, right? I mean, if you want to build a 60,000 square foot warehouse out there, think of all the money you can make on electricity. You put people to work. You can have you could have a facility out there that grows marijuana. I mean, year round.
Coming up, we've got it's growing all around.
It's coming.
Hey, coming up, we've got the folks from Enjoy Magazine. If you haven't seen the December issue, we're going to be talking about some of the wonderful highlights coming up right after these messages. Carl, Linda Bott here, right on Free Fire Radio. Good morning, 7:34 here on KCNR 1460. How are you on this Monday, December 6th? Well, we're counting it down. We couldn't have a better way to celebrate our Monday morning than to have Rhonda Ball and James Mazzotta here from Enjoy Magazine. Beautiful issue. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
We love this segment of our once a month highlighting Enjoy Magazine and all the wonderful articles. So let's just kick it off. Let's start off with what's on the tip of your tongue and what's at the top of your list today.
Well, first of all, happy holidays
to
everybody.
Happy holidays.
Yeah. Thank you. And this is obviously one of our favorite parts of the month. So new issue, new show, spending time with you guys.
Biggest issue ever?
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
It gets better every month. You know, we say that every month, but then you go, oh, gosh, it's gotten better.
Well, is it a state of mind? I'm wondering if it's just a state of mind of gratitude as well.
Oh, yeah.
Just being happy and really living in the North. I mean, went to the convention center yesterday. It's never looked better.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, the stage. It's just, the parade, everything. It's never been better.
Yeah.
And here you guys, the issue.
Winterfest in Promenade.
There you
me.
Go. Yeah. Never been better. So, okay, the Never Been a December issue better.
Yeah.
Never better December issue. You know what I mean? Okay, so let's go.
And I love that you point that out because you know what? Right now things are tough all over in the country. And so, you know, people I think are really just pulling themselves up by their bootstraps and never been better in certain ways, you know? Sometimes hard things make you find other ways to make silver linings.
You just can't quit. You know, tenacity. Tenacity is what makes a success.
Yeah.
You just got to keep pushing on it.
Out of the mud grows the lotus.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So, anyway, we'll
round up. So, let's talk about one of my favorite stories for this issue, and this is The Christmas Wish, and it's about the Christmas tree that is decorated on I-5 every year. And it's kind of gaudy, but it's something that I look forward to seeing every year when I drive down to the Bay Area.
Gaudy's addicting.
Yeah.
And it's something that I've wondered about since I've seen it, you know, since I've been coming up here for the last, 25 years. But this tree has been decorated every year since 1967, and it's a kind of a neat story.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's old, because that's when I was born.
Carrie Bogue was trying to keep this tree. They were getting ready to do some freeway remodifications, and she wanted to save this tree and try to get them to save this tree, and they didn't. And not long after the freeway was built, Carrie died, and so did the tree was dying, and pretty soon, all of a sudden, the tree started coming back to life. So her friend started decorating in honor, because she said when she died, she was going to come back as a tree. So it's Carrie's tree. So her friend
started... Wait a minute, let's get that music going.
But it's a beautiful story.
It's a really neat story. So third generation of people are decorating it now, and they do it...
A great documentary.
Yeah.
They do it the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, usually. And it's up now, and I saw it right after Thanksgiving this year when I was taking my granddaughter home, and it just made me smile. It's just a really neat story.
Where is this tree on 5?
It is by Jelly's Ferry Road, Red Bluff. Yes.
Yeah. So if you're heading north on I-5, it will be on the right-hand side, and you can't miss it. I mean, I was going to say shabby chic. It's, you know, not traditional Christmas stuff, but you can totally identify it. And
it's
the tree never looks like
it's
alive. It just... always hangs on, and it's never really any bigger, and it just kind of grew to a spot, and there it is.
And they said it's really a thorny tree, and it's a dangerous tree, but they decorate it. And now they put, like, flags, you know, flags that you see at car dealerships. That's what it's decorated with now. But it's pretty gaudy. There's a picture of it in the magazine.
It is still a decoration. Still remembering.
Yep.
Hey, yeah, that's great.
It's awesome.
But those decorations actually last, so... they don't get...
okay, I know. I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, fabulous.
It's that thing you drive and you look and you go, what's that? Why?
That you thought maybe it flew off the freeway and kind of got stuck on the thorny tree.
Yeah.
No, now we know the spiritual part behind that tree, which is really great attention.
But that's what you guys do. I mean, that was something that probably most people that go by go, that's a little strange. But now they know.
Yep. One of those things.
All right. What else?
Well, and then we have a story, too, here on Garrett Viggers, who is an incredible musician in his own right. He's best known for the hammer dulcimer, but he does play other instruments. And we actually have his CD in our store. We have a music section that we've started, and we're proud to say that his first... CDs that he brought in, we've already sold through, and on Saturday, or the night of the parade, he came by before he was doing some performances at the Cascade Theater and brought us a second lot of CDs, which is a Christmas CD, and it's absolutely beautiful.
We've had Garrett on, and he'll be on again.
Emmanuel or something.
Yes.
How splendid is that? You know, we're going to take a quick break here when we come back. We're with Enjoy Magazine, which, you know, starts off our month really good. And let's everybody know what's happening here, and we talk about the magazine. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, phone lines here, 605-1460. Carl and Linda Bott, phone lines here, 605-4567. And we're streaming at KCNR 1460 and chatting there. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite, right off Airport Road. Doug Tooley's been in the business since 1985. Puts in Dish Satellite, and he is giving you free, that's right, free HD decelerate with rebates he has from the company. So give him a call at 244-1988, 244-1988. Doug's a local guy, shop local, you know, do it all local here. So 244-1988, get free dish.
And speaking of doing it local, we have Enjoy Magazine on. This is, you know, you guys, every month we have a very special segment on where we have Enjoy the first Monday of the month, and we talk about your newest issue. Of course, it's December. It's a celebratory time. And what do we have next? And good welcome back, Wanda and James. Okay, so where are we now?
Well, when we always go to break, I always want to make sure that we finalize what we were talking about before we left. And quickly, it was about Garrett Vigors and his group with Hammer Dulcimer. And just to let people know that on Wednesday, December 8th, there's two shows at the Cascade Theater at 5:30 p.m. and 8 p.m. And it's a beautiful instrument, and it's traditionally a solo instrument, but what Garrett does is he really incorporates it in with a lot of other instruments and creates kind of a new form of music. And he's been lucky enough to be successful with that, that he's on some platinum records and some incredible opportunities. So he's kind of a local star. So anyway, if you have any interest, go to the Cascade Theater for that event. That'd be great. So, one thing also, too, that we've done this year for the very first time and I'm super excited about is our countdown to Christmas. And almost in the center of the magazine, we have this beautiful kind of French provincial building that's kind of holiday decorated. And this was commissioned by an artist that did our last and our first non-photographic cover. That was the October issue?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like the highlight issue. They had all of the, what's it, like the fours of... It was your
Yes.
They were hidden inside. Okay.
Yes.
Luke Flowers.
Luke Flowers, correct. Thank you. And so anyway, what we did is we decided to just do something fun for local advertisers that, you know, support the magazine. And so it's the countdown to Christmas. It's a fun kind of version of a celebration, Advent kind of in a way. It goes from the 1st to the 24th, and here's 24 windows in the building. And there's a number on the top of the window that indicate what day. And we basically just drew straws and gave opportunities to our advertisers to do a promotion for that day only. So we encourage people to pick this up and use it as a tool for their holiday shopping. Each day there is a single vendor that has a great promotion. You go into the store and it's good for that day only. And then, you know, for the next 24 days you have the opportunity to go to another store or a restaurant, and there are some really great deals in there. So
today's is Prestige Gifts, which is over off of Twin View.
Yeah,
in that area. And she has it's cars actually. She has a car dealer or a car service place, and then she also has a really neat store.
She's a beautiful,
really neat,
beautiful boutique.
So she's doing a buy a greeting card today, and you get one free.
Oh, that's fabulous.
And tomorrow, just so there's a heads up, is Market Street Steakhouse, and they have a really great promotion where half off all bottles of wine free dessert and with an entree.
So, ooh, perfect time to take
somebody to dinner.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're really excited about this.
Oh, yeah.
And we hope people really
Looks
use it to their advantage.
Too.
Thanks. You're next, Rhonda.
All right, well, my next segment is Shasta County, and Carrie and I all year have been featuring a county, and Shasta County is our last one, and it was the hardest one to do. We figured we have driven over 8,000 miles this year to check out all these great counties that are in the North State, and Shasta County obviously is our favorite because we live here. And how we did this one, because it was so hard, we asked a lot of our friends and a lot of people that we just saw, if you had a visitor come visit you, where would you take them? Name three places. A restaurant, it could be anything, a restaurant or recreation, whatever. And a lot of the answers were the same.
A lot of people,
of course, said the Sundial Bridge. And
of course.
A lot of people said Whiskeytown. A lot of people said the Cascade. So So we took what people told us was their favorites, and we kind of added our own, and most of our favorites were pretty much the same, too. So,
well, after 8,000 miles of driving together, I'm sure you guys know each other very well.
We know each other very well. It's been a lot of fun.
And I said this over and over again, but it really is. It cracks me up. They are really good friends, and when you see them leave and head out in the car, it is a total Thelma and Louise. I mean, you know, they come back each time, thank God, but you know what? It's like they head out, and they look like they're just reckless and... It's, you know, they got their camera. And
how much fun.
It has been a lot of laughs.
I'm seeing some redness on those cheeks there.
We've had some fun. Yeah, so Shasta County is featured this month, and there's if you haven't done all these things that are in here, you should try and do at least one this winter. You know, well, Burney Falls is beautiful. I mean, gosh, there's so many great things in Shasta
County. Well, we have found there's lots of things. You know, somebody introduces us to something, it seems like, every week, and it's like, they said, well, you know, when you go to this, when you went there, and we look at each other and go, I haven't gone there.
Yeah.
And they just kind of look at you, and they're like, oh, okay, well, you need to go there.
Yep.
Okay, a quick question. When we go and we fill our crate to send to our relatives that don't live in California, will you insert a magazine?
Yes.
Yes, fabulous.
At the store, every time somebody buys any type of gift, I mean, they're there available for you no matter what, but we definitely like to put a magazine in each gift crate because I think it really adds to that that feel of localness, and it actually gives them the gift receiver something to look at, and there in the back, which is the what's in store, will actually clue them in a little bit more on the store's philosophy. So, yeah, that's something that we really like to do is make sure that there is a magazine
But it also kind of cements in there, hey, you know, we bought these from the store, and this is our part of our country that we're so proud of. That's why we're sending these to you. Mm-hmm. And this is a good example why. And then now they can then continue to receive the magazine.
I mean, our ultimate goal was we really want to be able to support people and that they can actually ship from there, too. So we're working with the shippers right now to develop a relationship where, you know, they'll just come by and pick up the crates that will be packed in, obviously, boxes. So ultimately, it'll be just a one-stop opportunity.
Tell us the store hours again, if you will.
Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 6. And then we stay open for special occasions and you know, to meet things that are happening in the streets. Like, we were open for the parade.
It was really fun.
Yeah, we gave balloons out to kids.
Chocolate, yep.
And had free hot chocolate and candy canes. And, you know, people came in because it was rainy and cold, and they just warmed up.
A lot of people were
in. Yeah, great. You know, it was a great parade with all the rain. People were still.
Oh, yeah.
So everybody was out there.
Great.
Yeah, totally stoked. Hey, we're going to have to take a break. Coming back, we're going to talk more about what's going on in the Ajoy store as well as the December issue. Wonderful issue. If you don't have it, pick it up because, you know, once they're gone, they're gone. But we'll be right back. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio. 1460.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, Espresso Joe. It is the time of the year to get to Espresso Joe's. 30 or 40 different types of coffee, fixed 50 different ways. The Jingle Bell Crunch, all of these are just great coffee. He's got everything you could possibly want to buy to build your own perfect cup of coffee, and then they'll show you how to do it. That's Espresso Joe's in Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Our guests this morning, Rhonda Ball and James Mazzotta from Enjoy Magazine, and we can't forget to give a shout-out to Yvonne. And Yvonne, who is is such a delightful, classy individual, we are wishing you quick recovery and a happy holiday.
Thank you so much. She's doing well.
We miss her.
Yeah. It's been a long haul.
Well, she's a presence, I can imagine. Yeah. If she's gone for, you know, a period of 3 days, you're like, whoa.
If she's gone for an hour. If she's gone for an hour, you probably go, whoa.
Okay, so where are we now?
We have a limited time, we know, so I'm just going to go quickly. There's a great story on a horse rescue here. And just real briefly, it has a little bit touch of fame there. There's the grandson and granddaughter and great grandson from Secretariat that have been rescued and are here at this horse haven Safe Haven, yeah. So you can read something about that if you're interested in horses. And I know that's a big deal right now because that's a big movie that's just come
Secretary,
out.
Yeah, Secretary, great movie.
Yeah, so there is the ancestries up here, little famous horses that needed to be rescued. So that's a great story. Quickly also to Enjoy embarked on a new project this year. It's called Enjoy the Savings Card. And it's unique. It's a savings card that's like a credit card. They're $20. You'll be able to buy them around town, even in our store. It comes in a shrink-wrapped book, and you open the book and you pull the card out. You keep that in your wallet. We have over 140 businesses that are a part of it, and I'm assuming next year that'll be double, and it will be all for Northern California. First time you use the card, you can get it's 50% off. Buy one, get one free. Buy one, get half off, that kind of a thing. And then after that, the card is good for the rest of the year, 2011 calendar year, where you get savings every time you use it in these businesses as well. The great thing about this is it's an incredible opportunity for fundraising. So if you have somebody or an organization that you may want to use these books to fundraise, contact us, because $20 is a really great stocking stuffer, but 50% of that will go to the charity. So it's a big money opportunity.
Well, hats off to you, because not only your movies in the park, every time you had a Friday, you chose a charity.
Mm-hmm.
And this seems to be a common thread with you, with everybody at Enjoy Magazine, for you to come up with something that we know that these entertainment books and the fundraising for these entertainment books have popular in other parts of the cities.
Yes.
But here Enjoy Magazine has come out with one, and this is just really brilliant on your part, and thank you very much for taking half of those proceeds and putting them towards a charity. So yep, that's a great idea if people want to use that over cookie dough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm not to take away from any other.
Sorry, I didn't mean
that.
No,
and I know you didn't. But, you know, some of these things, I've talked to some schools. I ask, what do you get with See's Candy? What do you get? And, what they're getting back helps and works. But we really think that this is a really great opportunity, and it's reasonable. And some of a lot of them, the first time you use the card, you actually are making
get your money back.
You get your money back.
Absolutely.
I know. We look at the save. There's one that C.R. Gibbs has one in there that if you use it the very first time there, you actually are ahead.
It's the gift that keeps giving. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we're excited about that. Look for it.
Congratulations.
You'll see it in schools. Police Officers Association already is involved. We've got quite a few organizations that will be using it. We'll have it in the store.
Right.
If you have just a store and you want to sell them in your store, you can do that as well. So those will be coming out around the 15th, I hope.
Okay, great. So we have a few minutes left.
Okay.
And
the last thing then I guess we'll touch base with is this month's feature of What's in Store. And this is our double-page spread that we started once we launched the store that actually highlights a producer and a product that we do each month. This month our featured product is a company called Lima Huli, which is Hawaiian for hands that till the earth. And this woman actually is in Manton. She owns a lavender farm. And she actually hand-planted each one of her thousands of plants that she has on her property. And she's an amazing woman. Her name is Kendra Howell. And I love working with her. The products that we carry of hers in the store are her four or five different soaps. She has a beautiful lavender spray that can be used both environmentally or right on the skin.
I like the lavender on the sheets.
Yes, you can do that in the dryer, wherever. Just, a nice spray, but you can go right on the skin, and it's a lavender citrus.
Another great local product.
She has sachets that are just raw lavender that you can put for, like, potpourri around the room or in your drawers. She has incredible honey. It's a lavender honey that the bees work right there in the fields.
Lavender honey.
Yes. Mm. And then she sells the lavender, I'm not sure what you would call them, but I say sprigs, but, the little collectives that you can actually use. And then my favorite thing that she has that we use is essential oils. And they're so incredible.
And healing.
Healing. Yeah, you can use them in so many different ways. So read about her passion and come in and actually check out her products.
Well, we're talking about Enjoy. We're going to take a break here. Thanks so much, James Mazzotta, Rhonda Ball.
Thank you.
Enjoy and enjoy the store.
Merry Christmas.
This is Carla Linda Bynum here. Merry Christmas to you, too. This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
Necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, 8:05 on Monday, December the 6th. Whoa. November blew by, and then the first week in December, and now it's getting close to Christmas.
But a week from today, an absolute week from today. No, I mean, it's really okay, but it's still, all right, a week from tomorrow. We're a day off. So anyway, a week from tomorrow will be a one-year anniversary for KCNR. We actually launched. But I keep thinking that we kind of kicked off on a Monday, but we didn't. But it was just so, it was so funny because, you know, we were off and on the air, and it was just great. We had this great team of people around us, and here we are 1 year later into our wonderful time serving the North State. Yeah. And I think that really is a great segue into our guest.
Yeah, and we have as part of what we did here when we started the station was that we wanted to be a voice for all aspects of our society out here, and we believe we've done that as much as we possibly can. Anybody that wants a voice just has to do is give us a call, and they're on. They're on, and we don't try to censor. We haven't censored anybody that I know of. The only thing we censor is questionable words. And mostly the only people that do that is me. So, but let's have Elizabeth. Not that you do questionable words, but
oh,
you
no,
do you feel like
me.
You feel like
oh,
you got
no.
a voice here, Elizabeth?
Yeah, Carl, I never speak French. Maybe in the privacy of my own home.
Okay.
How are you folks? This
we
morning?
Are great right. this morning, we're and fine. Welcome good, to good. The show, Elizabeth, with the Tea Party.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to give the folks out there a quick update on what we've got going tonight at the Reading Tea Party Patriots meeting. As always, we meet at 6 o'clock at the Bonneville Baptist Church. And tonight we're going to have a gentleman by the name of Alex Landy, who is actually an expert in the fight against illegal immigration. And he likes to make the distinction that he is not against immigration, just illegal immigration, and that this is not a Hispanic issue, but a worldwide issue, because we do have people coming in across our borders from all around the world. So he has spent 20 years legislatively as an author, as a commentator, working with elected officials to try to change the tide on this issue. He's extremely intelligent, very well informed, and he will be speaking tonight at our meeting. We also had him as our call-in speaker on our show yesterday, We the People, as well as last week, because it's such a big topic. So
it is
if
a big topic.
People are interested in hearing about that, I encourage them
yeah.
to come out.
Well, you know, Elizabeth, then, you know, not to get into a political conversation here, but
oh, never.
You know, the thing about it is everybody says, oh, we got to focus on the economy, which is absolutely true since it's in such an doldrums at 9.8%. But it's a convenient way to not address a huge problem that we're having that plays into one of the reasons we're having an economic problem.
Absolutely.
And you know, I find it so much of a lack of intestinal fortitude of our elected officials. And then there's articles on the about what do they do here in California. Well, personally, I think what they ought to do in California is if they haven't already, is take down the white flag, and let's take a good look at it again.
Right, right. And, you know, and Alex will give some astounding numbers as to the cost of illegal immigration just in the state of California.
Right.
Everything from overcrowding in the schools to historically low declines in property values in neighborhoods where segments of that population live. So,
yeah.
You know, yeah, if Americans were picking lettuce, we might pay more for our lettuce, but I guarantee you we're paying a whole lot more based on the cost of this to health care, education.
It opens it up for a lot of thoughts. Okay, look, that's going to be you. 6 o'clock tonight at the Bonneville Baptist
Absolutely.
Church.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thanks
a lot,
Liz.
You great. Have a great week.
Okay.
You
hey,
too.
We're going to take a break, but when we come back, our guest
Kevin
is
Clayton,
our fire chief, the Reading fire chief who is sitting here ready to go to answer questions about what we're going to be looking for this year. I mean, gosh knows, there's some budget cuts, there's all these things going on. How is the fire department going to handle that? Kevin's been on before, has talked to us before, and you know he's got the lowdown. He's got it all. be able to at least address these issues. We don't know if all the answers are here, but Kevin's got most of them. Join us right after these messages.
Good morning, Reading. It's 8:13 in the morning. Yes, it's December 6th, Monday. Beginning of a beautiful week, 53 degrees this morning. And today we're going to have 30% chance of showers. We love that, though. Bring it on. That means lots of ski and snow, and it's all good for us. Going to be high today at 59. The weather is always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Check it out, 474-5546. Make your reservations. December 10th will be Candace Lavolsi, Rick Hill, myself, Johnny Gonzalez, Bruce Kalin, and we have a wonderful, and Dan Kinkle. So we got a wonderful music program happening this Friday.
It's gonna be great.
All kinds of Christmas music and everything.
And it does, you know what, we say, we tell everybody it sells out quick, and it does. And so
especially now with the holidays.
Yeah.
It's beautifully decorated.
With everybody, there's going to be a big program here. Okay, our guest is the Reading Fire Chief, Kevin Kreitman. And, you know, thanks a lot for coming on, Kevin. You've been on before. We always enjoy having you on.
Thank you.
Chief. Chief Kreitman.
Okay, Chief. What, you know, with everything that's gone on in the past 6 months or a year, there's been a lot of acrimony. I know that you are, you know, there are certain things that you can't even get into because you have nothing to do with it in the unions and such. But one of the things you can talk about is the state of fire protection in Reading right now.
Well, as most of you are probably aware, we're dealing with some significant budget issues in the city, and those issues have had an impact on us with regards to our ability to provide service. The most recent one coming up will be the closure of Station 2 at Placer and Buenaventura in January to meet some of those needs. And we've seen a number of things over the last couple years with reduction of firefighters in our stations. We've seen a reduction in the number of personnel that we have available for emergency responses.
Okay, so we were closing the one up there. I understand that the criteria for closing it is the number of calls.
There was a number of things that came into place. Anytime you look at needing to reduce, you know, there was not a good option. Essentially, what we looked at was what would be the least impact of bad options, especially when you come to looking at closing of a station. Some of the things we looked at, though, with Station 2 was its proximity to other areas in which we can cover and where our resources are currently in the city. And if you look at I-5 and our split with I-5 and look at it as kind of splitting our city in two, we have 7 responders on the east side of I-5, out of 3 stations, out of Station 8, Station 5, and Station 7, which are Churn Creek, Hartnell, and at the airport. So when we looked at that, we have the greatest concentration of our forces are on the west side. So that was one of the main things that came into play. The other thing that we looked at was coverage of if we have to close a station, which station can get into that area quickest. And we looked at both Station 1 and Station 3, which abound both sides of Station 2, allow us to maintain some fairly good response times in most cases as long as those vehicles are available. And about 5-minute response times into that station's area. When you get past west of Buenaventura, that area, you'll see some little bit longer response times. But looking at that,
5 minutes is that a magic number?
There isn't really a magic number. National standards like to see personnel on scene within 4 minutes 90% of the time for a number of reasons. When we're looking at fire issues, and also when we're dealing with major medicals such as heart attack and cardiac arrest and things like that, getting CPR started.
Okay. Now, we want to talk about that portion in a few minutes here. I want to devote a whole segment to that. But that's going back to the 4 minutes. Or do houses, you know, I've heard and read that houses burn faster now. Is that true?
Yes. One of the things, there's been a number of studies done here in the last few years, and UL actually just, Underwriters Laboratory actually just did a study here not too long ago, and they looked at furnishings that we put in our homes today compared to 30 years ago, and they ran a number of tests, and they actually have a burn scenario, which is videotaped and online. And it's really amazing when you look at, because 30 years ago, most of our furnishings in our homes were natural fibers. And one of the things that we look at is when a fire starts, how quickly it reaches what we call flashover. And that's when everything in the room, the gases and stuff, heat up to a point where everything in the room ignites and it's burning. And 30 years ago, that took about 29 to 30 minutes. And what we're seeing...
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And today, what we're seeing with those same types of things, couches and things like that with the polyfoams and stuff...
Synthetics.
Yeah. You're seeing it in about 3 to 4 minutes.
Where it used to take 29 to 30 minutes, you're seeing a flash where it can really explode in 3 minutes now.
Yes.
That's amazing. Along the same lines, when it comes to safes, that you have in your home, what is your recommendation as far as they have like a 3 minute, a 5 minute, and
you have an hour?
What do you recommend?
I would look at, when you look at the fire rating of the safes, I would look for one that has a 1 hour fire rating on a safe for most places.
Okay, so if you're putting all your valuables and papers and everything, and if you have a safe, you want a 1 hour. Okay.
Okay. Wow.
You know, when we come, I think we still have time for this. When you when you're called out to a fire, and the thing is, it's you have two firemen per response vehicle, right?
Currently, the majority of our engine companies are two. We have three vehicles, two engines in our truck have three personnel on it.
Okay, you have to wait for the third person.
In a rescue situation, if we have a known rescue, we arrive on scene and someone's telling us, an occupant is there telling us that there's someone still inside. Under federal law, we can attempt a rescue in that situation with two people.
Okay. But if it's just a fire itself, you can start the outside, but you're not going to go in the inside until another vehicle arrives.
That is correct. And for us to make entry, then, we have to meet what they call two in and two out. So for us to be able to make entry, we actually have to have a total of five people arrive on scene before we can make entry into the home in a non-rescue situation.
Okay. Now, when you go to a home fire, or any type of fire like that, you're ringing the bell for two or three vehicles, obviously.
Yes. Yeah. On a first alarm fire, what we're sending is three engines and a truck initially, and that gets us approximately 10 to 11 personnel. If it sounds like we have what we call a working fire, where we have an actual fire burning in it and it's beyond a room and contents, most cases we're going to what we call a second alarm for us, and that's bringing the rest of our resources. After July, it'll essentially be all of our stations responding to that incident.
Okay. All right. We've got to take a break here. Our guest is Fire Chief Kevin Kreitman. We're talking about response times. We're talking about, and this was a big number to me, was how it used to take you 29 minutes in a fire in a home for it to reach that flash point.
Combustion.
That combustion point. And now it's a 3 minutes, 3 to 4 minutes, because of the materials that are inside the homes. Wow. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Good morning, North State. 605-4567, if you'd like to call and ask the fire chief a question. Kevin Kreitman, we're so pleased to have him here today. This portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellite, Doug Tooley, Airport Road, Shop Local, Stay Local, 'Tis the Time. To go dish. He's the guy to do it. And wanted to let you know that it's currently 53 degrees. Going to be high today with scattered showers. The temperature should reach up to 59 degrees tonight. Low of 43. We do have chats coming in and out. Of course, one of the questions that I would like to ask, and it kind of coincides with questions in the chat is chat room is, okay, Station 2 is going to be closing.
Yes.
When will it close?
Right now, we're tentatively looking the weekend of January 7th.
What happens with that station when it closes? What happens with the property and the building? Is it just, does it stay there until the funding can happen again? It's temporarily closed? Share that with us.
Our intent is to reopen the station, hopefully as soon as we can at that point. So with that in mind, what we'll be looking at is keeping it in a state in which we can readily reopen it once funding comes back.
Well, the thing with the, and I know you, I know I'm not going to put you in that position there, Chief, but with the looking at paying in their CalPERS and this and the instant savings of money, that money should be able to be put back into our first responders. Do you see that happening, or?
Well, when you look at whatever is taken, whatever we can get to a point where we have additional funding to reopen that station, I think is when we look at our abilities to do that. So it's primarily going to be a funding issue, and at which point either through you know, improvement in the economy or other methods in which allow us to get to the funding point where we can reopen the station.
Okay.
And maybe is this, can we do like a can there be fundraising that would be like station two to make sure that it's taken care of and salaries are taken care of? Let's do a fundraiser for station two to keep it open. Can we do that?
You could.
It would bake sale?
Yeah.
As far as when we're looking at the cost, you know, we're looking at almost $1.34 million.
It's a lot of cookies there, baby.
With that and the other positions that we lost.
Yeah.
We actually, not only the closure of Station 2, but we also had a reduction of the number of firefighters we have at one of our stations on the north end of town, Station 6. It went from, we lost the three firefighter positions there. Previously, we lost three firefighter positions at Station 8.
Okay. You know, one of the things that that is 90%, 85 to 90% of when you all roll has nothing to do with fires. You told us that you were talking about something that you all have started that may help that.
Yes. One of the things that we've been working on, and actually through a generous donation from Shasta Regional this year, through our 911 center, Shastcom, we've implemented what they call emergency medical dispatching. And they've started some of that now as far as giving self-help, giving instructions and things, and categorizing calls for emergency medical calls. The next phase of that we're working on, and that hopefully we can have implemented within the next 3 to 4 months, will be where we actually categorize a call based on what the caller is sharing. And what they look at is they have them categorized as Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Delta, and it's based on the seriousness of the call and what resources would be required based on a national program that has been in place for a number of years and used throughout the nation by departments. Once that goes in place, hopefully we'll see further reduction in the calls that we're responding to. For an example, there will be calls where it may be just an ambulance only, where they don't need fire resources. There may be other calls where it requires both the fire and EMS responders. So essentially, we work in a public-private partnership now in providing that service, because a lot of times our resources are closer. There's some calls that we don't need to be responding as first responders to. So hopefully we'll see a reduction in that.
Well, that's a reduction in cost then of running out the labor cost. You're still paying people there anyway, but then you save money on running the engines out.
Some savings, not a lot of savings. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing is making sure we're having the right sort resources available for the call. It's not uncommon for us, especially in some of our busier stations, for us to have multiple calls at the same time.
Right.
So one of the things that allows us to do is hopefully the right resources available for the right call.
All right. Yeah, because, you know, with the watching a fire crew go out with their with the fire truck and going to check out somebody that has a headache, does not seem like a viable use of our tax funds.
And some of those type of calls, depending on what the criteria is,
right,
may very likely in the future not be. Someone that has been sick for 3 or 4 days, you will most likely not see
right,
a fire response on those.
Well, we had the ones down in Anderson tell us that they were being used as a taxi to take people from Anderson to the hospital. And on a regular basis, they finally had to get the law enforcement into it. So, yeah, you know, it just seems to me we could save dollars that way. Okay, we're going to have to take a break for the news here. Well, Bob, you keep throwing the 30-second sign at me, but you didn't mean it. You waved it at me. So
I'm not waving it.
Okay.
30 seconds now.
Okay, it's 30 seconds now. You know,
when I wave it, you'll know.
The chat room is open, KCNR1460.com. And just enter if you have a question for the chief. We have some action going on in the chat room that we will address after this break.
Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, it is 8:34 in the morning, December the 6th. Tomorrow, December 7th, Day of Infamy, Pearl Harbor Day. Phone lines here, 605-4567, and we're chatting and we're streaming on KCNR 1460. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue. D.C. Tim, and that's D.C., his son Tim, and the unknown barber, the man in black, give great haircuts. They give discounts to veterans. Tell them you're a veteran, you get a discount in there. They give great haircuts. There's no hairstyling, it's barbering. They clip your hair, they shave around your ears, they shave your neck. No, they don't give face shaves, but they give shave. They shave around your ears and your neck. It is man's last stronghold, my friends. Man's last stronghold. It says so right on the window when you walk in. That Cypress Square Barbershop, they do a great job. They're great Americans, and they support the veteran community and our entire community. Our guest today, Fire Chief Kevin Kreitman, and we're getting all types of questions coming in here, Chief. One of them is, why can't we use, if you're going to shut that down, why not use it for volunteers? Open it and put a volunteer fire station there.
Well, the city of Reading currently does not have a volunteer program. That was actually one of the things that was, we had a paid-on-call program that was firefighters only that was eliminated, I believe it was about 2 years ago now, in one of our first round of budget cuts. One of the things for us, we're running about 12,000 calls a year, and it's very difficult. We do not currently have a training officer's position, and when you look at the training that's required, just not only for firefighters, but then for the other positions that would be required out of that area, for your apparatus engineers, that are the vehicle drivers.
Let's talk a little bit about that, Kevin. You know, one of the things that we just, one of the things you don't think about, now, because of the cars have gotten so technical with the airbags and all these other things, you can't just reach in there and start cutting.
No, there's everything when you look at, you know, the fire science and emergency response today, vehicles today, for example, with airbags and all the safety systems on them, knowing where you can cut, where you can't cut, and things. And that's one of the challenges that I think you're seeing nationwide with volunteer fire departments, is all the training that's required and do it. I mean, it is. We are fortunate when you look at our outlying areas with the number of volunteers. But one of the challenges we have is with the call volume that we run, and looking at that and trying to maintain that type of a force would be very difficult.
Well, you know, we had a volunteer fire department on the show here a few months ago, and they said one of the problems they had was you know, keeping the people up in the training, but they could do that, but it's a volunteer. It goes back to volunteer. That's the big word there, the volunteer, that some people have got jobs, and they all of a sudden they're pulled away, and where you would have three or four or five people, all of a sudden you've got one or two. But it's tough. But I understand, and that's outside the city limits anyway when we're doing that. Part of the problems that we're facing here is with the shutdowns of everything, and you know, closing down that station is what's the next step that could fall? What's the next? Talk about dropping the next shoe. What are we looking at on the next round of budget cuts?
Personally, I don't see that we can go any further with where we are today with our reductions on the fire departments as far as our emergent response side, and still be able to provide effective service to the community. So with that, I guess my comment would be that would be something we'd have to look at and have a discussion with council and city management looking at that. But where you look at where we are today with our response force and being able to address our needs, I don't see that we could look at any further reduction with regards to our emergency response capabilities.
So this is it, huh?
That's my recommendation at this point.
We had a question come in about raises and the effect the raises had on I think it's 7% and 12%. The impact that's had. If those were foregone, would we still be shutting down things?
One of the things that we had looked at previously, I believe that was one of the options, was if the with those savings, we most likely would have been able to keep the station open.
Okay, so if the fire union said that we'll forego the raises if you kick out the contract for another year, I think is essentially what it was.
Yes.
And then the station would have been saved.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we got to take a quick break here. When we come back, Chief, we want to talk about, it's that time of the year when we've already heard that fire can get out of control in 3 or 4 minutes. Let's start talking about some of the things we can do to help prevent that, and a couple other things you've got here. Carl Endebot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, 8:43 in the morning, December 6th. This portion of the show brought to you by the Backroom Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Joe and Shelley, great Americans, they support this community. They support the veteran community. Finest walk-in humidor in the state. Espresso Joe's, any type of coffee, fixed the way you want it. Really, really great prices there. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Stop by, see them, say hello. Our guest, Fire Chief Kevin Kreitman, and you know, our chat room is just like jumping up and down. This latest one, Linda, one about the lady and the and her husband and her concerns.
Okay, my husband, this is from Westsider. My husband had a heart attack last May, and Station 2 firemen were there in a minute or two, but ambulance took 15 minutes. I'm very worried about Station 2 closing. Please don't let it happen.
Well, you know, unfortunately, Chief, you don't have anything to say about that, right? Well, I guess you do, but it's...
One of the things that, when we looked at the station, that is one of the things we took into consideration was response times from our other stations. And we will see, long, depending on the area, will we possibly see some longer response times. But some of the areas, we may not see that great of a change as long as one of the other stations is in quarters. For example, depending where they're at with regards to Station 2, if they're towards the downtown area someplace, towards Station 1, you may see a minute or two longer up at Tubular Ventura, and likewise with Station 3 coming up. We will see longer response times there, but our goal is to try to maintain them into a point where we can get there in a timely fashion to be effective and hopefully have a positive outcome.
Question here also, Chief, if you were the city manager, what other city services would you cut in order to fund the fire department? Is it just a question of us having the wrong priorities?
Well, I'm not the city manager, and I guess I would defer that to them. I know that all the city departments have had reductions, and when you look at it, I know that fire and public safety with them is a priority. It's just a matter of looking at how do we get to the point where we need to be with funding.
Yeah, Chief, you know that puts you in a somewhat of a difficult position because of you're here to do this. You know, you're here to run the fire department. You're not into the city manager's job. We've asked that question a lot. We've asked every one of our elected employees, what are you going to cut? You know, we've had them say they cut out the parks to everything else, but I mean all the parks. And well, that's not going to happen. We talk about privatization. Well, that's another completely different show that we're going to talk about there. Let's talk about here in the last 10 minutes or so that we have safety. During the holiday season, this especially, you know, when we know that now without all the Christmas stuff in there, your house can go up quick. What about safety during holidays?
Safety, I think, is we need to really look at as being an ongoing process, not just during the holidays. But we have some unique hazards during the holidays, and one of the things that I like to stress anytime I'm talking with someone is making sure you have adequate smoke detectors in your home. And that you check them and that you have them. You should have them on each level, each sleeping area, and of the home on it, and outside the sleeping areas of your home. And one of the things a lot of people are not aware of is that smoke detectors have a date on them. And if you look at them, if they're over 10 years old, there's a good chance that they're not going to be effective. The way they're designed, they have a material in them that it is important for them to be able to react. So it's really important. If you have smoke detectors that are over 10 years old or you've been in your house for more than 10 years and they haven't been replaced, you really need to look at replacing your smoke detectors to make sure. That is the number one key to us being effective. It helps us with early notification, but more importantly, make sure that the citizens are being notified in a fire. For example, the fire we just had the other day off of Hilltop Drive in the fourplex, had it not been for the smoke detectors in that home, we probably would have had some fire fatalities. They were woken by the detector. Occupant went downstairs, saw the fire, attempted to put it out, wasn't able to, went back up. They were able to get out shortly after our crew's arrival. We had fire showing both the first and second floor. So their escape routes would have been cut off very shortly there for them had they not had smoke detectors.
What about fire extinguishers?
Make sure as well that you have a fire extinguisher. If you can catch something in an incipient stage, I think that is important. They also need to be checked and maintained. 1A10BC is, you know, kind of a minimum to look at.
Yeah, we have, and they have to be checked on. You can see where they're in the green, where they start sliding down. But that's an important thing to have in the kitchen and in the house too, wouldn't you think?
Yes, anywhere where you have cooking and things like that. And the main thing is when you're cooking and things, not leave it unattended, especially if you're heating oils and other things like that. Make sure that you're there in attendance. If you have gas appliances, a lot of times people aren't aware of is what are they wearing when they're cooking. Are they wearing loose clothing, something that could accidentally come in contact with a flame that could ignite them? Because a lot of the materials that we're having today, not only in our homes, but also in our clothing.
That we're wearing. Also goes wearing, up quick.
Also goes up very quick.
Yes. Are there certain types of Christmas decorations that you would warn against, or that that maybe shouldn't be used?
Well, the first thing that I would warn against is candles. Everyone likes to burn candles in their homes, but when we look at it, especially this time of year, that's one of the things that we see a lot of causes on fires is candles. If you're going to burn them, make sure they're on a steady place, away from children or pets or anyone else. Good, knock it over. If you leave the home or before you go to bed, make sure you blow them out. If you're going to do it, my preference is just don't burn them. They're nice to look at, and I know a lot of people like to burn them, but we just need to make sure you're very cautious with those when you are burning them. Make sure they're a wide base. Never place candles on a tree.
Like they used to. And have these horrendous fires.
Yes.
They used to be candles with your decorations. Okay, we've got to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about trees, because everybody loves to have a tree in their house. But at some point, these can become your a dry tree can probably become your worst enemy in a house. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Back down.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott. KCNR1460.com is how we're streaming. You can chat with us. Our guest is Fire Chief, Redding Fire Chief, Kevin Kreitman. And we want to finish out this segment with the Fire Chief talking about those beautiful trees, those combustible trees you put in the middle of your home.
Well, one of the things that you have on, you brought in some wonderful tips and facts that are very important. And since I'm, decorating and putting up our tree right now, I mean, we do have floor heaters or vents that come up. And you have a tip sheet there about your fire. I mean, a lot of us like to put our trees close to the fireplace, even though we have a screen over it. But you have a rule of thumb there. And could you share that with us?
Sure. One of the things when you're looking at, first off, choosing your tree is very important. You want to make sure that it's a fresh tree, the needles are green and do not fall off. So if, when you take and touch it, if you see a lot of needles fall off, it tells you that it's a fairly dry tree. Once you get it home, you want to make a fresh cut on it, usually 1 to 2 inches up from it. Make sure you get it in water right away and not allow it to dry out. They'll take a lot of water initially, especially, and if you allow them to come out of the water, the sap will actually close off and the tree won't take any more water during the time. But when you're looking at placing the tree, some of the things is really important is make sure that it's at least 3 feet away from any heat source, such as fireplaces, radiators, heat vents. If you have heat vents in the area, shut those vents down because they have a tendency to dry the tree out as well. Make sure your lights and things like that, make sure it's not blocking an exit. That's one of the things a lot of times that people don't, because when we're dealing with a tree, a lot of times people aren't, even when they're green, they still have a tendency to burn very rapidly if something should happen. We have an unfortunate ignition of a tree. Make sure you add water to it daily. If you're going to use lights on it, make sure that they're UL or another.
That they've all been tested.
They've been tested.
So that you don't get this. Right.
Let's talk about the fake tree for a minute, because there's a lot of people that are, and I hate the word fake, but I mean, the trees that people put up in their attics and they bring them down and they use them year after year and becoming more popular. What are some of the things to look out hazard-wise regarding the imitation tree?
Very similar, other than you don't need to worry about the water, but you have the same fire problems because, again, they're made of a petroleum product. So you still have that ignition problem, so you don't want them. Keep them away from heat sources. Keep them away from your fireplaces. Don't block exits with them. Make sure you turn the lights, whether it's a real tree or an artificial tree, make sure you turn the lights off when you're gone and when you go to bed at night. You do not want to leave the lights on.
What happens with the artificial tree when you put it up in your attic and it's 120 in the attic? Is this a hazard?
Well, anytime you have fuel loading in an attic, it's not, we have from a fire standpoint, we have a concern, because if we have a fire and it gets into the attic, we have additional fuel loading. But as far as the temperatures up there, you're probably not going to see a lot of problem with it.
You recommend spraying fire retardant on fake trees, plastic trees? Does that make any difference?
most of the trees have to, they have a UL
they have,
rating.
They have a UL rating already, okay.
On them. So, and that's the other thing to look at when you're buying a tree. Most of them will be will have a UL rating on them. Well, it is something, though, that you can use for, they do have retardant materials and flocking that you can get for live trees.
Right.
Oh.
The, okay.
Well, we are talking to Fire Chief Kevin Kreitman, but Chief, what could you also share there with the information sheet about the tree? Once we're finished, we take the decorations down. It's advisable not to store it in the garage.
Yes, actually, one of the things is shortly after Christmas. And I know a lot of people, and we're ones that like to leave the tree up. And if you're going to leave it up, make sure again that it's still dry, because you do have an added hazard. Anytime we have a tree like that in our homes, we have an added hazard. But once you're ready to take it out, it's best to take it out, put it outside someplace. Don't leave it in your garage or other locations, because we have a fairly readily available fuel source. And I think I've seen throughout my career a number of times, the other thing, the biggest thing is if you have a fireplace or you have a wood stove, do not try to cut them up and burn them.
Burn them. Right.
People are not aware. They will flash and they'll take off and it will overrun. We had a neighbor next to us one year. Our son yelled at me and he thought he would try to feed the tree into a fireplace and comes out his front door with a skeleton of a tree.
Well, you know, what we do is we have really good neighbors, John and Martha. I just throw the tree over into their yard. They've never said anything. That's why they're really good neighbors. You know, one of the things they do down in San Diego is they have one day that you can take all your trees, and you take it down to the beach down there, and you put them into, you build yourself a fire ring, and you can burn trees down there, and you'll see trees burning all along the beach, big piles of them. And I don't know if they still do that now, but it was kind of fun to watch that. Last thoughts right here, Chief, on safety. We've got like about a minute left.
Just, I would really encourage people this time of year to be extremely conscious of what you're doing with your trees and your holidays. And if you have family and friends coming over, make sure they're aware of where your smoke detectors are, what you're going to do. Every family should have a home escape plan so that when they do have a fire, they know where they're going to meet and they can account for people. That's one of the things that really, really helps us. Cooking is another big thing over the holidays, where we see a lot of fires from turkey fryers and other things. So
turkey fryers,
when you look at that, on it, we see nationally about 260 structure fires a year caused by trees and tree safety. And then when you look at the other areas there, with the heat sources and all the other things we have with the lights and everything we're putting up on our homes, it's just really important. One other thing I would just mention is if you have a two-story home, a lot of things that people don't think about is having home escape ladders for your bedrooms.
Great idea.
On those, because if we have a fire, if it starts on the downstairs, sometimes your primary route may be blocked, and what do you have in the way of plans to get out of that secondary
house? And practice on how you're going to get your family out, a place to meet after it's outside, and all those kind of things. Chief, we've got to run here, so thank you very, very much. It's not going to last, and we want to have you in on a regular basis. You're talking about fire protection here in our city. Our guest tomorrow, Dr. Khan, is going to be talking about your heart health for the holidays. I think that's going to be pretty important because we all have a tendency to perhaps not take care of our heart as much as we should. Hey, just remember.
Thank you, Chief, for being on.
Thank you.
It's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.